Blog Talk Radio.
Take a Road Productions.
Welcome to Unknown Paranormal Radio. I'm your host, Kevin, with Unknown Paranormal.
And I am Jeff, also of Unknown Paranormal. Happy March 3rd, everybody.
Yes, we're in the month of March now. And still, the Texas weather doesn't want to decide whether it wants to be warm or if it wants to be butt-ass cold.
It doesn't actually get cold in Texas.
Do what?
It doesn't actually get cold in Texas.
It gets cold enough for me. That's the point. When you're having to go from not wearing a jacket, to back to a jacket, to long sleeve, you know, it needs to make up its mind so I can adjust my clothes to whatever the weather is.
That's why I just want to move up to northern Canada.
Why?
It's cold all year round up there. I love it.
Oh, man.
Oh, I love Lord. Cold weather.
Apparently.
That's the problem with people from Texas is that they don't actually know cold weather. They think they do, but they don't.
Yeah.
I think 55 degrees is cold. No, afraid not.
Oh, man. Well, we had a residential consultation last night in Dallas-Fort Worth area. Went pretty well. And then we stopped into a couple metaphysical shops on the way back. And I got me some more sage so that I can cleanse my house, and got some rocks. And we saw some weird dude. You know, it was like, I was scared. We were in the car, and he was like dancing on the sidewalk down this major highway and pointing at cars and whatnot. And I was just like, hope nobody walks up to him, he might eat their face. Because he was just loony being. But, you know, that's how they roll in the big cities.
Yeah, in Dallas, anyway.
Yeah, that's pretty much any city. There's some loonies out there.
No, not New York.
Oh, yeah, whatever. I've been there.
Not recently.
It doesn't matter. Well, 3 weeks from this weekend, we will be at the Texas Para Unity Fest in Wachahatchee, Texas. And as part of that, I'm going to play the ad to this event. There's going to be a lot of people there. Unknown Paranormal will be there as one of the teams leading investigations. Also, I will be teaching a class that day. Mike's going to speak as well from Unknown. So come on out if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area or in the surrounding areas and want to drive in for a paranormal event. So here's the ad.
Join us at the Texas Paranormal Unity Conference, Saturday, March 23rd from 11 to 6. Waxahachie Convention Center, 2000 Civic Center Lane, Waxahachie, Texas. Admission from $25, booths from $75. Charity auction with A&E Storage Wars' Walt Cade. Gallery reading with psychic medium Dakota Lawrence. Para Encounters Network broadcasting live from the event. Workshops and vendors. Supporting the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. Info and tickets at texasparaunityfest.eventbrite.com.
All right.
I still say this somehow got me to do that without me knowing it.
What, they steal your voice or something?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, he sounds a lot better than you.
No, nobody sounds better than me.
Yeah. Well, we got that going on. God, the next couple months is just going to be nuts. About, I think, 2 weeks later, 2 or 3 weeks later after Parrot Unity Fest, we'll be at the History, Haunts, and Legends convention in Jefferson, Texas. I believe that's April. Let me look at my calendar here real fast since I have it. I believe it's going to be April the 6th. Saturday, April the 6th, History, Haunts, and Legends in Jefferson, Texas. Mike McCaskill will be speaking at that as well from Unknown Paranormal. Larry Flaxman, Jennifer Broussard, Kathy Nance, Jeremy Jones, Ken Gerhard, Rita Louise. A lot of the folks that we've had on the show in the past as guests, they're all going to be there speaking, so it'll be a great event. And then later in the month, about 2 weeks after that, Unknown won't be at the convention, but we will have a representative there. Mike McCaskill is going to speak at the first annual paranormal conference in Tyler. So,
cool.
Busy month, man. Busy month. The next couple months. And then, of course, in May, we're going to be trekking up to Arkansas to investigate with our past at a old sanatorium that we've investigated with them before. So that'll be a heck of a good time because we had a lot of crazy stuff happen the last time we were there.
Cool.
So that's pretty much what's going on in the realm of Unknown Paranormal. Now, I am developing a additional logo that I'm going to present to the team and see what they like about it and see if we can get some shirts made. So that's something else. Another little look, new look for us.
That was not clear by me.
It doesn't have your face on it, so I believe we'll be okay.
Well, I definitely don't approve then.
Oh, man.
Now, if it had my face on it, you could sell a shitload of those T-shirts.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I guess so. Trying to think if there's been really any craziness going out there in the world today. You know, we normally touch base with what's going on in everyday life out in the world, but it's pretty much same old, you know?
Well, Joe Flacco just became the richest football player in history. I don't know if you saw that. Did you see that contract that he signed? $120 million over 6 years. Just to break that down for you, that's $20 million a season that he's going to get paid from the Baltimore Ravens.
Wow. That's crazy.
It is. And, of course, our sarcastic, wonderful governor is about to cut an additional $5.4 billion from education. So that's, you know, that's a thing.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the politics of it because it just chaps my hide of all the things going on right now, not only in our state, but as a country.
Oh, absolutely.
There,
There's too much finger pointing and not enough deliberation in getting things taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say different parties or who's at fault. I'm just going to say as a whole, they all need to grow up. They need to look at the whole country and do what's best for all of us and quit having these individual agendas that they're trying to accomplish. And that's all I will say about our government.
Can we make it a rule to, in order to run for office, you have to pass an IQ test?
Well, that would be good. That would be great, actually.
That would limit it down to about 3 politicians for the whole country.
Yeah, that's true. oh, man. But, yeah, crazy stuff going on in the world. I don't know. Like I've always said, and I've said this on the show numerous times, sometimes it's easier to deal with the deceased, the spirits, than it is the actual living human beings that are around us.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Check this out.
Did you say something happened the other night in your house?
Yeah. Oh, this was last night. This was kind of funny. So I'm sitting at my desk in my office. I'm recording some music. And I use the program GarageBand on my computer. Anyway, I had an external keyboard hooked up to the computer, that is. And I had the program open, and I had this one part of the program. It's called musical typing, which you open this little window, and it looks like a little keyboard pops up. But in order to play the notes on it, you have to type the button, which is on the keyboard of the computer. And you can tell when a note is being pushed. It'll show it. Well, anyway, I'm about to start recording this song, and I look up on the notes, and they're moving by themselves. But the funny thing is, no sound was coming out.
Wow.
So I don't. It was probably a software glitch or something. But I had never seen that, and it was going on for about 15, 20 seconds. And I grabbed my phone and I started videoing it. And right when I wanted to show I had my headphones plugged in, and I wanted to show anybody that was looking at it that there was no sound coming out of the computer. Well, as soon as I unplugged my headphones, it stopped.
Wow. That's interesting.
I don't know. Either I had a spirit playing or trying to play music on my GarageBand, or there was a software glitch. It was probably a software glitch, if I had to guess.
Right.
It's still weird nonetheless. Now this is a conversation I got into the other day on, I believe it was the National Paranormal Society Facebook page. Somebody put a question out there about Ouija boards. And my opinions of them are fairly different than most other people's. I kind of like what Mike has to say about it. So, nothing really to gain, so why bother with it? Nobody has ever been able to explain to me how in the hell a piece of cardboard with letters and numbers on it somehow has this magical power to open portals. Mm-hmm. I can't figure that out. Nobody can explain that to me.
Huh.
I don't believe in using them just simply because I can't prove that I'm not the one moving the planchette.
Right.
But to me, it's just more of a common sense thing rather than, out of fear or anything like that.
Right.
I don't see them as a toy, and I don't see them as a tool either. I just see them as just a piece of wood with letters and numbers on it. That's all I see it as.
Right.
I know we've dealt with people that have messed with them, and something came through apparently, or so I don't know. Can somebody please explain that to me? How in the hell this piece of board has this power?
It's all about the intent. It's just like anything else that we use in the field.
Right.
It's all about the intent. You could have a ghost box and you could open up a doorway if you don't close your ghost box down properly. There are different things that can happen. So I think it's all about the intent on what you're using and what you're trying to accomplish. And, you know, a lot of times people don't know what the hell they're doing to begin with. So that's where the problem brews from. And since, unlike paranormal equipment that's very expensive, you can buy a Ouija board anywhere. You can buy it at Toys R Us. So it's readily available to the common folk in the public, and that's why it gets a bad name, because usually that's what is somebody's using, because they're not going to go buy expensive paranormal equipment. They're going to go buy this board game. So now tonight we have Scotty Warwick on the show, and Jeff's going to read his bio.
Oh, I am?
Yeah, you always do.
Oh, I didn't know I was being volunteered for at the time.
Yeah, that's part of your job description.
Oh, where's my money?
Yeah.
You're not going to paint? Oh, okay, fine. At least, instead of a tour bus now, can I at least get a tiger?
No.
Well, that sucks. All right. Like Kevin said, this week our guest is Scotty Rorick. And Scotty encountered spirits when he was a young child, and later while attending college, he even saw a full-body apparition that changed his life. And this life-changing moment sent him on a path of enlightenment and spiritual growth, which continues today. Scotty has traveled throughout the Midwest and the Southern states, speaking at conventions, holding spiritual readings, stuff like that. He has incorporated new and innovative techniques to help find the answers that he seeks, and has mentored members of his team, as well as visiting teams in spiritual and tools. Scotty has been called in to assist other groups with their spiritual needs, and through his abilities, he's able to hear and speak to spirits. While validating past and present experiences through spiritual readings and dowsing sessions, he is able to capture recordings and acknowledgments simultaneously. His unique ability to receive messages gives him a way of comforting and helping people understand that their loved ones watch over them. And Scotty's purpose is to help prove that there is life after death and it isn't scary. Scotty is a psychic medium whose mission is to bring spiritual understanding to people searching for answers. He works towards that mission through education, mediumship, and mentoring. And to educate people, he created ztalkradio.com, which is an internet radio station that focuses on paranormal and psychic programming. As host of the Buzz Talk Radio Show, he interviews a range of hosts and discusses a lot of different topics. In addition to that, he also provides insightful lectures at paranormal and psychic conventions. As a medium, he provides messages to many people for their comfort, assurance, and guidance, both as individual and group readings. His mediumship has also been featured in the Booth Brothers documentary, Children of the Grave 2, and because of Mr. Rorick's experience with his psychic perceptions, he often guides and mentors others who are trying to understand and use their own psychic abilities. And his care and concern for others is central to his mission. I'm such a great reader.
Also, just a little tidbit on him, he was a stand-up comedian for 12 years.
Cool. Okay. I got this number here. Yeah, that's right.
And by the way, the reason you can't get a tour bus or a tiger is because, just like the government, I have to cut the budget.
Well, how about a monkey then?
No, it's not in the budget.
Not like a big chimp. I'm like one of those small monkeys, like what was in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
No, sir.
Come on, that'll be awesome. Yeah, we're trying to get Scotty on the line.
Hello?
Scotty, hi. It's Kevin. It's Kevin with Unknown Paranormal Radio.
How are you?
Good.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Good, good, good. Oh, dadgummit, I hate it when I have questions and they go out of my head.
Well, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing very well. Waiting for some snow. I guess we're supposed to get like 10 inches on Tuesday up here in Wisconsin.
Oh, I'm jealous.
I'm so over it, guys. I'm just done. I just don't want it anymore.
Well, I'll trade with you. It's bone dry down here.
You guys are in Texas?
Yes.
Yeah,
you guys can have any amount of the precipitation you want. I will load up trucks and give it all to you. I'm so tired of shoveling.
I will take it. I've been up to Wisconsin. What was the name of that little town? We went to Wisconsin Dells.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right about 40 minutes from my house here in Madison.
Oh, yeah? Well, I went up there during a spring break. The girl I was dating at the time, her mother lived in that area. I think she worked at, Kalahari?
Yep.
And we went up there, and it snowed while we were there. And I loved it, and I decided if I ever owned a house or anything in that area, I would just make my driveway with, like, a built-in snow shoveler.
Yeah, you would have to, you know, and I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet, but we just haven't created that in, you know, like you have like in floor heat, you know, where they got those things that warm up your floors all the time for you,
right,
in the houses.
Right.
They haven't done that with the driveways yet, and I'm surprised, so.
Oh, I'm on it now. I'm going to invent it, make billions and billions of dollars, and then I'm going to get the tour bus Kevin's supposed to buy me.
All right, there you go.
Oh, man.
And everybody
yeah.
that wrote me on that will not get to ride on it.
Hey, I help with the idea, so at least I get the ride on the bus, right?
That's right, exactly. And you get
all
a
right,
hot dog.
Good.
Well, for some of the folks out there that don't know about you and your background, take us back to when you first started getting into the paranormal, you know, experiences you had growing up and whatnot.
Okay. Well, let's take the way back machine. So, there we go. We're way back in time. Way back into the time of the 60s where there was, when I was a young little pup. Anyway, no, when I was a little kid in the late 60s, early 70s, we lived in a house in just outside of Milwaukee, down in Racine, Wisconsin, and I would be at my room was at the end of the hallway. I had some great red shake carpeting, man. I told you this was the 60s, it was a good time.
Hell yeah.
It was awesome. I had a great room, big red shake carpeting. I had this Atari, or this, it was a Pong machine. You ever remember those? It only played one thing. It looks like, it was as big as the IMAX, where those big teardrop IMAX,
mm-hmm.
and it played one game. And I had that in my room. I thought I was the king of town, baby.
Nice.
Anyway, at night I would be in my bed. If I left my door open, I'd have people come down into my room and sit on my bed and talk to me at night. And at first I just thought it was just totally normal that people come at night and talk with you. I didn't know what it was. I didn't understand what it was. I was just talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I come find out that I was talking to ghosts, and they would talk to me every night. And as soon as I kind of figured out that they were ghosts and they weren't really real people, I did the misfortune of telling others that I saw ghosts.
Yeah.
And, you know, and especially in that time of era, you know, I mean, it was free love, but still they weren't totally believing in everything that was happening in this world, you know what I mean? Ghosts wasn't a great thing to be seeing at that time. So, I mean, the kids were pretty ruthless, you know. They were able to really cause me a lot of problems for a lot of years, you know, making fun of me all the time. And it got really bad. So I decided because in my later life I did comedy, and we could talk about that later, but I thought, hey, I'm going to be a comedian, and I'm going to tell everybody that I see bakers. Well, to me, when I see a spirit, especially in that age, when I saw a spirit, I was able to see them as a human form, but they were lighter than you and me. They had that translucent kind of feel to them. You know what I'm talking
right.
about? Yeah.
Yeah.
So they looked translucent to me, but they looked more white. So that's why I called them bakers. And I said, oh, yeah, these bakers will come down and talk to me at night. And then, actually, that backfired, and it actually made it worse. Because now you're talking to bakers, you know, who the heck, you know, are you going to, you know, I'm like, are you hungry at night or, you know, all this crap, you know, all that crappy jokes came out. And I said to myself, you know, after, you know, I think it was 4 or 5 years of this, I finally stopped and I said, I'm not going to see ghosts anymore. I'm not even going to talk to them because I don't really need to. And I didn't know that anybody really does see them other than me then, you know, because after being made fun of, I thought I was the only one. So I ended up stopping seeing ghosts until college. So we'll zoom ahead a few years. It was 1984, and I went to the University of Wisconsin at Oshkosh, and I was getting a degree in theater and radio, TV, film. And I was in the theater department one afternoon going to the prop room, and I walked up to the prop room. It was a sunny afternoon. Kids, you know, almost everybody was in class. I was out because I was doing work. I go into the prop room, open the door, and right in front of me there was a lady, older lady, standing right there, had no feet, no legs, floating right in front of me. The best look of it, and that's why I really love the movie Ghostbusters, but the best look would be like that librarian lady that they come around the corner at the beginning of the movie. You know, that lady, that floating ghost was right there, because that's what it kind of looked like. And I screamed. Oh, my God. I screamed and yelled, and I slammed the door, and I ran out of there. And I'm yelling, and all the kids are coming out of the class. And I said, I just saw a ghost. And I went, holy crap. What the hell did you just do, Scotty? You just told everybody in college that you see ghosts now. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I opened myself right up to it again. I'm like, oh, damn it. But the nice thing now was that there was a couple girls that came up to me after, and they said, you really did? Oh, I think that's really cool. Let's talk about it. Let's go out, and you can tell us about it. I was like, I got a date because of a ghost? This is cool.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. So ever since then, I've been seeing ghosts.
Yeah, it's interesting that you said you studied theater and broadcasting. Myself and Jeff, we both have degrees in theater arts. That's where I first had my, like, I guess my first paranormal experiences was
in the
theater that I went to school. It's a very old building, and so going in there, you know, they always talk about this ghost named Chester, and that he was the architect of the building. And they got the plans mixed up when they were pouring the foundation and actually turned the building the wrong direction, which it doesn't actually face like all the other buildings on campus. It actually faces the side of the building next to it. So it's kind of odd in to begin with. But, you know, you hear all these ghost stories, and I'm like, yeah, right, you know. I'm in college. I don't have to worry about all that. Well, I'm going to class, and my acting class is on the third floor, so I get in the elevator, and I hit 3, and you feel the elevator go up and do its thing, and it dings, and it opens up, and I'm still on the first floor. And I was like, whoa. Okay, now I'm going to be taking the stairs the whole time I'm here until I graduate, you know? And there was always, you know, weird things going on in the theater. You know, our lights would go off during a performance, or, you know, just crazy things like that. And, you know, I always got creeped out when I went down in the prop room as well, because it was underneath the stage. And we called it the cave.
Well,
yeah,
we had a cave, too. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So, yeah, that's where my experiences first first came about, where my it basically struck my curiosity, and it wasn't until later in life when I was like, you know what? I see all this stuff going on TV, but I want to see it. I have to see it to believe it, so I'm going to get into the paranormal and see what's up with all this.
Yeah. I mean, what's cool about that is that's very similar to what happened with me. You know, we had a ton of stuff happening in that theater in the 4 years I was there. We had lights that were done. My keys were stolen moved on the stage, and they've never been found since. Never, not even up to today. Nobody's ever found the key. And, I mean, this was a whole set of theater keys, you know. I had keys for the TV station, theater, everything. I found a violin up in the fly loft one day. I mean, stuff was moving around that place that should never have been moving. But the cool thing is you zoom back to 2 years ago, I was able to go back in there and do an investigation 25 years later. And we had some of the same exact things happening 25 years later. That is what I call incredible. I mean, all the stuff that we have happening back then. I mean, we did Ouija boards back then, you know. We did, we put baby powder on the floor. We put string out. I mean, what else did you have back then, you know? I mean, we didn't have all the gear and stuff that we do now. But you know, we were trying to get them. We were trying to, you know, get the spirits to talk with us, so.
Oh,
but
yeah.
26 years later to do that investigation was really cool. And in some of the same places, we did get an anomaly on our video upstairs in the same place where I saw the spirit. But the neat thing on all the stuff that I did was I've been able to put a pretty big story of evidence against that building that everybody confirms, because what ended up happening in that building, you know, like I said, I found a violin. Well, I come to find out that the house that was on there was the original music house for the university before they built the theater on top of it.
Okay.
And the people in the music house, there was a, before it was a music house, that, and they donated to it. The lady died in a car accident in the house, and her picture looks almost identical to the lady that I described. And then I've talked to professors that were in the music room and house, and they said how they would have instruments that would end up missing. They come in the morning, lights would be on. They would have music strewn all over the music house. And all that same stuff is still happening now. The theater's on top of it. So,
mm-hmm.
and this has gone on for all these years, and there's so many stories to it. And so I think, and I can definitely claim that theater is haunted.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We actually investigated, which was kind of odd. We investigated a building here in Texas that they called it Old City Hall, and it did have offices in it for City Hall. But what was interesting about it, it had a theater with a balcony, fully functional theater, and in the basement they had a fully functional jail.
Mm-hmm.
So this building housed a working theater and a jail at the same time.
Wow.
Talk about spirits that were in there. Yeah, that place was crazy haunted.
There was I investigated it in Pensacola at the old jail there that's now a theater, but never the one that was together at once.
Yeah.
You know? That's crazy.
Now, one of our past guests and is one of our friends, is Mitchell Whittington. He's an author, and he wrote in his book, Ghosts of East Texas, show me a theater, and I'll show you a ghost.
Right.
Now, why do you think that so many theaters are haunted?
Oh, I have the answer for that, and you guys are going to love it. Here it is. I did a convention 5 years ago in Howell, Michigan, and it was an old theater, and that we held the event at, and this was really cool. The theater upstairs was very derelict, but you could still see it. When we went up there that night, the spirits were telling us they were doing a show, and they were mad that we were traipsing on the stage.
Huh?
So it was kind of funny. They were going to put a show on for us. But that's right there. That was the night I realized why spirits haunt theaters, because spirits themselves want to be seen. They want to be known. They want to be heard. They want to be remembered. And to any human, if I've been in it, because you guys said you've been in theater too, accolades of people on stage applause, you know, giving you applause, enjoying your work, is some of the best feelings you'll ever have as a human. It really is. I mean, it's wonderful. Just like you do well at work or something, and your boss tells you it's a great job, it says accolades that hey, I actually did something good once, you know, and that's the thrill of theater. So for a spirit to go there, that's when they had the best times of their lives. So why wouldn't they end up back at the theater that they worked in?
Yeah.
Cool.
Now, when you got out of college, you got into stand-up?
No, I did improv.
Improv?
I started that whole phase of improv comedy that ended up doing Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Mm-hmm.
I performed with a lot of those guys that performed on that show. I did a lot of improv. I own my own improv club in Oshkosh, Wisconsin for a while. And it was about 10 years that I did comedy and theater. I toured and did, you know, did stage shows. I did dinner theater shows. I did, you know, I was acting professionally. So it was a good time. But it was kind of funny because I did my first investigation back in 93 because of doing theater.
Mm-hmm.
I was working at a theater in Oshkosh again, and there was this group out of Dr. Tim Hart, and him and his group were out of Springfield, Illinois. They contacted the theater and said, "Hey, can we come up and investigate the theater?" And the director of the theater says, "Hey, I know that you kind of see and know of ghosts. Can you stay tonight and investigate with them?" Well, needless to say, Tim and I, after all these years, are still really good friends. And we had one hell of an investigation that night. Oh, my goodness. I mean, we had reel-to-reel tapes set up downstairs. But, I mean, we had footsteps in our baby powder. We really did. We had we heard footsteps. We saw shadow figures. And this was in 93. So this was, I mean, to me, it was incredible. That's what really got me hooked. Because it was like, wow, you know, we're actually seeing this. We're actually hearing this. We actually know that the spirits are really here with us. And that's incredible. But my other point to it is the fact that after all these years, and that's the neat thing about the paranormal, even though, you know, there's some bad stuff going on in it, the good stuff is the fact that we have the ability to keep good friends for so many years. And to me, that is one of the most important things that are in this field, is because we become friends and we stay that way with each other. And,
and
you know, so Tim and I, 93 till now, you know, we're still really great friends. And that's awesome to me.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
That is really, you know, and then I meet you guys and we'll become friends. And when we see each other, we'll have a blast. And that's that to me is what the main part is. Because if we all get to know each other, this year I'm really, and we could talk about this later on, but I mean, this year I'm really talking with my own radio show. I'm talking about trying to help one person at a time, trying to help make someone's life better. And if I could do that overall, we could start making this world better.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. Yeah.
And we could talk about that later, but that's, to me, that's what's so important in this thing.
Oh, yeah. Now, when, since you can see and sense spirits and all that,
did you ever
have any times when you were acting, doing your improv, where a spirit would try to appear right while you're trying to do your thing, or were you so engulfed? Because I know when I'm engulfed in a character or whatever I'm doing, I pretty much block everything out. But
right.
Did you ever run into the spirit while you were on stage?
No, never when I was on stage. Like if I came off a stage or if I went into the wings, I would definitely know that their spirits are watching and they were around. But I never, like you said, when I was in the show, I was that character. I barely came out of it. I mean, I was really one of those method type ones that like to get immersed in it, because I found it more enjoyable to take on the entire role that way than just trying to put it on. If I had to cry in the show, I really wanted to cry. I really wanted to feel the same emotion that character did. I just didn't want to fake cry. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it was so weird. I mean, here's an example of theater, and since you guys are theater guys, I'll bring this story up. But this was so weird. We were doing Death of a Salesman, and I was playing Uncle Charlie. And so when we were there, we were on stage, and we always played this card game on stage. Willie and I would always play cards.
Mm-hmm.
And in the card game, there were certain cards that came up at certain times, and we would have to say, oh, I got this card, and throw it down, and you would pretend it was this card. Well, the guy that was playing Willie and I were very similar to everything we said, and he wanted to say, he goes, let's just learn the game and really play the game on stage. I said, okay, that's good. You know, that way people thought, instead of us just tossing cards down, we were actually playing the game. And one night, we were sitting there, and I said, I threw the ace. And because what I did, I threw it down, and there really was an ace there.
Nice.
I was like, holy crap. You know,
it was
those type of things, though, that I knew Spirit was playing with us when I was doing shows and stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know, I get like that too. I get engrossed in the character, and if I'm portraying, you know, the bad guy per se in a show, I take all my frustrations on Jeff if he's in the show with me. Yeah, it was interesting you said that. It just popped in my head the time Jeff and I were in The Odd Couple, and we were supposed to have a card game at the end of the show, and I get to the table, and one of my fellow actors forgot to bring the cards in, and we were sitting there with no cards, so I had to initiate some extra blocking and go off stage and get them.
That's fun.
I remember that.
Oh, I mean, you guys, we could spend all night just talking about the hijinks that we did, the hijinks we did on stage. I remember we were doing Barefoot in the Park, and every time they would open the door, there would be a different moon outside the door. I mean, I was the telephone repairman in Barefoot in the Park, and we were doing dinner theater with the show, and I said, well, you know, the show doesn't have the telephone repairman with butt crack, but I made it with butt crack. And every night of the show, I mean, the show went for 2 months, right? So,
right.
I mean, it was every night for 2 months. So every night for 2 months, my butt crack would get lower.
Nice.
And the other actors would be dying. Then one night, because I'm supposed to have them sign, I had the pencil in my crack, and I pull it out, and I hand it to him, you know, and he has to sign it with the audience is dying. The director's not liking it. But one night we're sitting there, and I did all these hijinks through all, even on stage with them. And the lead actor was always, he was really uptight. He wouldn't do anything. His name was Scott too. He wouldn't do anything. So one night he goes to me, he goes, hey, butt crack, want a drink? I was like, oh damn, he just changed the script. I said, I love it. I cracked up. I busted out on stage, which I don't normally do. He started laughing, and the lady that was playing Corey started laughing, and all of a sudden, we noticed that the audience started laughing. It took us 22 minutes to get back onto the show by the time we stopped laughing.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
He had so much fun. It was great.
We actually had a spirit one time make itself known during a show. And this was, I guess it was the fall of 95. We were doing a Miracle Worker.
Okay.
And I was running the sound. And we're at a scene fairly early in the play where Annie Sullivan first arrives to the Keller household, and she goes to her room. Well, we had, you know, the door was, you know, in a door frame, and all of a sudden it slowly closed all by itself.
There you go.
During the middle of the show, and the director, myself, and the sound or the light guy were up in the booth, and all of us just looked at each other and said, "Did you just see that?"
Yeah, yeah. And the same thing, you know, kind of like what Jeff and I, we went to high school together, and we went to junior college and acted in some shows together. And, you know, there was a lot of hijinks in the theater world, but now that we got into the paranormal side of things, the same kind of thing's happening. And what's real interesting is, when you're not all serious and, you know, asking those same old typical questions in an investigation, and you're just being yourself and being funny and goofy, I'm telling you, the spirits, they love to chime in. Now, Jeff got made fun of at one investigation. We got some EVPs.
This again?
I got to. It's you. I got to make fun of you at some point during the show. I didn't meet my quota.
Jeff got
I kind of put Jeff in a predicament where he had to put the IR lights on the different video cameras we had, and he didn't know which one went with which camera and all this. So we had a recorder sitting at the home base while we're doing setup, because we always turn one on when we walk in a place. And he goes, "Man, which light goes with which camera?" And you hear a spirit, Class A. He goes, "Oh, shit."
That's too funny.
Yeah.
We were at a theater in Waukegan doing an investigation. That was my first time. I don't know if you guys know Joe Kudo at all. It was my first time.
Yep, we know him.
All right. And it was the first time I was auditioning for his team at that time, you know, many years ago. And so he brings me down to this theater, and we're sitting in the elevator going up and down. You know, I did my walkthrough. I told everybody about the spirits and everything, you know, in the building. And I was on with every room. And but the funny thing was, we're in the elevator. I have all the gear on. I'm sitting there with my recorders ready to go. And we're sitting there talking about REO Speedwagon, you know, because they're going to play there. And one of the guys in the group liked REO and all that type of stuff. And so we were making fun of him and hair bands and all that crap, you know. And so we're in the theater, or we're in there, and we get the best EVP ever. We're sitting in there. You can hear us all talking. And the next thing you know, you hear on the thing, the spirit goes, "Scotty!" It's like, get your ass back into the game, man. Come on. Stop talking about REO. We're here. The ghosts are here. You know?
Nice.
They're kind of like, "Oh, come on, come on, come on. Stop playing around."
Yeah.
So,
it's interesting when you don't really pay them attention. If you're just having a conversation with a fellow investigator, they butt in and talk over you during, you know, when you go back and review it, you've got these spirits chiming in the conversation.
Yeah, most of the time they do. See, now that's the one big thing that I'm gonna bring up, and we're gonna talk about, is the fact that most spirits, 99% of the spirits that you'll investigate, are good spirits that were your loved ones. And if you think you need to talk to your loved ones in a disrespectful way, then go right ahead. But I'm not going to. You know what I mean? There are some of the real jerks out there. And there are some of the people that are still your loved ones, but that are a pain in the butt, you know, that have the grudges, that are angry, you know. And to me, those are the evil ones to me, you know. That's the difference, you know. Now, see, since we're in this, I'm going to bring this up. See, I don't really believe in demons. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not big into the demon thing. I believe in evil. I believe that there's definitely evil out there. And to me, what my definition of evil is a human spirit that knows the difference between right and wrong, but yet commits heinous acts on other humans. To me, that is more hideous to me than anything that a devil could create and have them, because they wouldn't know the difference between right and wrong. They would only know this evil that somebody told them to do. You know what I mean? But to actually know the difference between right and wrong and be able to then choose to do wrong, that to me is heinous.
Yeah. Exactly.
Absolutely.
And I've always said with human spirits, if they were an asshole in life, they're going to be an asshole in the spirit world.
I agree 100%. And so that's why I tend to go along the lines that most of the spirits, I mean, I think all the spirits have been human at one time, but you're not going, you know, you're going to have the assholes that you're going to have to work with. You're going to have, but then some of them, how do you know your grandmother's not there? You know, so that's where the difference lies. I think because and we could talk about this later too. I work the Baumeister Estates investigation, or if it was just on Paranormal Witness. It was called Fox Hollow Farms.
Yeah,
and it was about the I-80 murderer in Indiana who killed gay guys in his basement. And myself and Deb Lance were the first two psychic mediums ever on the site to investigate. And now that guy is evil.
Yeah.
Because even in death, he still torments the other spirits. He still torments the house. He still has that sick, perverted life that he lived here. He still lives it in death. And to me, that is evil.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely. You know, and I always try to tell, you know, other themes, you know, I don't tell them right from wrong, right? I just tell them, look, this is what we do. And I said, this
right.
is our opinion on it from our team is if I'm going to go into, say, I'm going to go into a living, breathing human's house, I'm going to walk into their house and start yelling at the people that live there, you know, it's not going to go over very well, right?
Nope.
And it's
right, exactly.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with the deceased. You know, they were human at one point. You come in to where they're at and start hooping and hollering and talking smack to them, it's not gonna be pleasant, you know? So,
can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Can you? Okay, because
yep.
All of a sudden you guys went blank. I didn't hear what you were saying.
Yeah, I was just saying that, you know, you go into a haunted location where these spirits are, these spirits that were humans at one point, and you start hooping and hollering, it's not going to be pretty. And either they're going to act out on you, or B, they're just not going to communicate with you, and you're not going to get any kind of evidence that night.
Right. I agree with you 100%. That's why you treat people with respect, you're going to get it, just like you would do in life. If you had questions of people in life, you will go on to talk to them. You know what I mean? You're not going to yell at them. The first thing, if I came on your radio show and started yelling, I think you guys would hang up pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know, so it'd be like, why are we even doing this? Why is this whole thing? So, but that's why I don't provoke. I mean, I try to egg them on. You know, I'll say, I don't think you can do that. You know, I said, come on, you can do it. Oh, no, you can't. Come on. And then they get a little frustrated and go, yes, I can. And, you know, next thing you know, they're doing something, making a noise, you know. But the whole provoking thing is not my bag or cup of tea.
Right. Now, with your mediumship, what can you see them? Do you hear them as well?
I would say my number one, because every medium has most of the abilities.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? To me, I hear more than I see.
Yeah.
I'm more clairaudient than what I see. I can see once in a while, and I've seen a lot of spirits, but I would say that when I do readings and that type of stuff, I hear the spirits. I did a reading today. I did a reading today for some people, and I heard the spirits. They said, "Can you see them here?" I said, "No, I can't see them in your apartment, but I know they're definitely talking to me because I hear them." So, to me, it's clairaudient first. I'm clair. You know, the other thing is I'm clairsentient because a lot of times I sense stuff. I sense energies. I sense sadness. I sense, you know, so I could feel the emotion. You know,
right.
and then clair. So my last one would be, I mean, probably the first one is the hear, second one is the see, third one is the sense. So I would put them in that order.
You know, one thing that, because we have a gentleman on our team that he saw his first spirit when he was 8 years old, and his gifts are very powerful. He's got the gift of seeing, feeling, hearing. He's got it all. And when he joined our team and we started working with him, it seemed like the rest of us, we started opening up a little bit more. And
very true.
Yeah, and, you know, I wasn't noticing my body as much as I do now. Like yesterday we were at a residential case, and the individual we were working with, her house is not haunted. The property's not haunted. She's haunted. She has an attachment. And, boy, you could feel the energy when this spirit would walk in the room by her. My stomach just felt like it was just getting tied up in knots. I was like, "Yep, he's here," you know. And my fellow investigator, he's like, "Yeah, I can see him standing there," you know. So
right.
I'm getting more in tune with my body, and I think a lot of people out there that are in the paranormal, you know, they always talk about, well, my favorite piece of equipment is this, that, and other. You know, and Jeff agrees with me on this. I think our best piece of equipment is our own body.
Yep.
It is. I agree with you guys 100%. I always say the best thing you can bring to an investigation is your mind.
Yeah.
And an open mind. Not one that says that I'm going in here to disprove or one I'm going to go in here to prove. I'm going to go in and sense what I sense. I'm going to go in and find out what I could do. You know what I mean? What
yeah.
is in the place? What do I feel? That's what I'm going to go in for. I'm not going to go into, I'm going to debunk this place. No. And I'm not going to go in and say, this place is haunted. I'm going to go
yeah.
in to see what I see first. And that's the best way to go in.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. I mean, that's what I've been speaking on for the last year. And some of my lectures this year is the same thing is, why every paranormal group should have a medium.
Yeah.
Because to me, a medium not only is one tool in your collection, but they're an important tool. Because what they would give you is, like, for example, on the teams I do tech. And I'm the one that helps set up the camera because I know where I sent something. So I'm going to put a camera in the room that I sent something. You know, I used to tease Joe Chin from GHI, that they were always in the wrong room, because they were. And he would get so mad at me all the time. He goes, "Well, why'd you tell us?" And I go, "Because you never tell me where you're investigating, so I can help you." But I always say, "You're always in the wrong room." An example of that is the regular TAPS team did the Congress Theater in Chicago, and there's been only two groups that have done the theater ever. No other group has investigated. It was TAPS and the group that I was with. And we went in there, and I went in with the homeowner, or the building owner, I should say, and he walked me around the building and said, "Okay, tell me," and I don't usually like doing this because it's not as easy as it seems, but he walked me in every room, and he says, "Okay, tell me what happened in here." I was like, "What? You want to go in every room in the theater, and I got to tell you if something happened in here or not?" He goes, "Yep." I said, "Okay, here we go." I hit 11 of 10 claims. Now you could say, how did I hit 11 of 10? Well, the thing is, there was only three people in the theater that knew of another situation that wasn't somebody died or something like that, but something recent. that had disclaimers or had non-disclosure statements on it and stuff. Nobody could talk about it. And I knew about it. And he goes, how the hell did you know that? I said, well, you are not impressed that I hit 10 of 30 rooms, you know, and I gave you the right 10 rooms. You want me to, you not impressed yet? I said, dude, come on. I said, really? But that's it. A lot of times you put your team in the wrong room.
Mm-hmm. We did a test. This was a few years ago. One of our team members, Joseph, he had made the statement that he believed that he was as psychic as a rock, as he put it.
Yeah, a lot of people say that.
I remember looking at him and saying, Joseph, that's not true. And I said, I'm going to prove it to you. What we did, we kind of, we sort of blindfolded him, sort of. We were in our, you know, Kevin mentioned Mike. We were at his house. We were in his backyard. And it was okay. We put Joseph down, and Mike's wife, Dee Dee, covered Joseph's eyes.
Okay.
And then we all split up into different parts of the yard, moving as quietly as we possibly could. And then we signaled to Dee Dee, and then she would point out each one of us, or he would point out each one of us, where we were. You know, we had told him that, pretty much what the body does, it recognizes energies. And when it's somebody that's familiar with you, then the energy is going to be familiar.
Right.
And Joseph was right. We ended up trying about 15 times. I think Joseph maybe missed once or twice.
Right. I did that once. We were at, we were at the Mid-Ohio Convention at the Post Town School with Keith H. And we were at an investigation that night, and they said they really wanted to know if dowsing rods work, you know. And they say it's just your audio or whatever, your body moving it. I get idiomotor skills right there. Sorry. Anyway, I said, all right, everybody turn the lights out in the theater or in the gym. And I had my dowsing rods out. And I said, I'm going to put a blindfold on, even though the room is dark. Now you guys move around the room. And I said, now the spirit, and I had the person next to me. I said, now tell me a person's name. And the dowsing rods went to that person. Hit every person in the location where they were.
Nice.
How does that happen in a dark room when I'm dark and I don't know where to point the rod?
Right.
Unless I have some magical powers, then I'm even cooler than what I think.
No, and it's interesting that you help with the tech. I got that idea about a year and a half ago with Mike, because normally it's myself and the tech guy that's actually setting up the cameras. And I looked at Mike and I said, hey, man, you know, since you can sense where spirits are, and you can feel energy patterns and all this other stuff, I said, well, why don't you start helping us set up cameras and you use your gift and start setting them up where you feel the best place where we might capture a spirit or something going on in the room. So we've been doing that ever since, and he's right on the money of where we should actually put these cameras at.
Yep, and don't you guys pick up more EVPs, more stuff with him doing that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We have... I've always tell folks that have never investigated alongside of us, I always give them the disclaimer warning that I said, I'm not bragging. It's not anything to do with that. I'm just telling you, when we're in a location, crazy things happen. That when you walk out of there, you just scratch your head going, how in the hell did that happen? And we've seen that a lot, just with our group as a whole and with the addition of Mike and everybody else kind of opening up as well. And, you know, we kind of go into investigation as ourselves. We don't try to put on a front. We're just our personalities going in there. And, man, I'm telling you, we've seen some crazy things happen. You know, we've had you know, I'm not a big stickler on the ovulist because nine times out of ten, it's off. It's just gibberish. But we've had the ovulist cuss us out, you know, and I can look up the word bank on it, and it's not programmed in that thing. And, you know, it'll say things as crazy. They told us to F off the last investigation. And, you know, I'm just like, I know that ain't programmed in there. But we were kind of semi-provoking in a way because it was the spirit that was in the room with us, and Mike had already did a read of the building because he always goes in cold. That's another, you know, when you're talking about other teams needing to use mediums, you know, if you keep them cold and you let them go in cold and read the building, and you have, you know, in your possession all the history of the building and the claims and everything when you talk to your client or homeowner or whatnot,
right,
you know, they coincide. It's just another added bonus. And but this guy, he had brutally raped. He was a bellhop and in this hotel, and he brutally raped a woman on one of the floors. And he had been ducking and dodging us all night. And finally, he decided to show himself to Mike on the floor we were on. So we decided to, you know, because he had done something so heinous as a crime and got away with it, we started using that as ammo against him. And we're like,
right,
so you are a coward, aren't you? You know, who does something like that to a woman? You know, and we just kept agging him on, and that's when the ovulist told us to F off.
I know I was at Bobby Mackey's Music World, and we were down there, and we had a Hack Shack box going, and we had an ovulist going at the same time, and we had you know, a bunch of recorders. I think we had two ovulists going at once, but the Hack Shack went off and said, F you to us. And so we played back the audio tape listening to it, and you hear an EVP of a spirit going, F you, and then about 2 seconds later, you hear the Hack Shack going, F you, right in a row.
Wow.
I'm like going, yeah, baby, that's some good evidence right there, I'll tell you. The other one was, we had another Hack Shack. See, now the Hack Shacks to me, or the Frank's Box, are random unless the timing is right there. You know what I mean? Is if you ask a question and you could get a good response back right away, then great. Then I think it's something, you know, that's positive. But if, like, I know groups that will say, can you tell me your name? And like 5 minutes later, somebody hears, I hear Bill. What? That doesn't, that's not answering your question. That's some other stupid thing way down the road. But we were at Pensacola, and I was leading, because there was a Paracon there, and I was leading a group of 55 people on an investigation. Now, I don't normally think that stuff is going to happen when you got big groups. But
mm-hmm.
I've never had so much shit happen when you had a big group, because it was happening for real. Somebody had a Hack Shack that I didn't even know at the time, and he had it. And we were able to ask questions, and right away we would get responses. Like, you know, he would tell us that he died, he hung himself, and sure enough, there was a guy in there that hung himself, you know, all this stuff, and even gave the name. I forget the name now. But what's cool was when I do this, I ask that same question again, maybe a minute or two later, and I need to get the same response again. So
mm-hmm.
I asked the guy's name. I think he said, like, Edward, let's just say that for talking. He goes, Edward. And then 2 minutes later, I said, oh, yeah, I forgot your name. What was it again? And sure as shit, he said Edward. I was just like, there you go. That means the Hack Shack's working, you know?
Yeah.
It's not just random.
Well, we've even gone further with it, and we're doing more with it this year, because we've got some fellow friends of ours that are in the field that are more scientific, and you know, they're not real big fans on those type of a piece of equipment. And so I'm like, okay, so I'm going to start testing this in a way that you'll appreciate it. And if I get evidence, then I want you to try to explain this, right?
Right.
And Basically, I'm taking the human element out, you know, because if I'm asking a question and I know the answer, you know, how do I know I'm not projecting it out there, right? And so what I'm doing now, we did it on a case in Arkansas where, and this just came, you know, it's one of those things, you know, when you're an investigator, you think on the fly, right, and you try something that wasn't even planned prior to going there. And we were sitting there, and Mike decided to just randomly reach in his pocket and grab a coin. And he didn't look at it. You know, it was dark. And he goes, okay, I'm going to toss this coin, and y'all call heads or tails. And we had a ghost box going, and he flipped it up, and it hit the floor. And we hear, before we even go over there to look at the coin, we hear tails. So then I turned my flashlight on. We found the corner. We look at it, and sure enough, it was tails. And then I turned the flashlight back off, and I said, hey, tell me what the year is on this coin. And it come through the spirit box, 1985. I turned my flashlight back on and looked at it, 1985. I'm like, holy shit. You're going to, you know, yeah, that's crazy. You know,
those are the types of things, too, you know. Is, you know, I asked one time, what was the president when they died? And I, sure as crap, I got Taft. You know what I mean? And how many times do you hear on the radio, Taft? Come on.
Right.
You know, people say, oh, yeah, it's just words on the radio. I said, can you listen to any radio station right now for 24 hours and have anybody say Taft?
Yeah.
Nobody's going to say Taft. So get real. I mean, I don't understand being scientific because, unfortunately, we can't be in this field. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
It's,
you know, there's got to be some of the human element. There's got to be that emotional tie. There has to be that to it. I mean, I'm not the one, as you guys hopefully hear tonight, I don't go around saying everything's haunted. I don't go around saying everything's a demon. I don't go around saying everybody's got this evil attachment on them. That's not me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you exactly what it is, and more times than not, it is, you know, because I'm not one for the hype, and I'm not one for the mediums, because there's a lot of mediums I know that go right to going, oh, there's so much evil around you. You're somebody's going to, you know, we got, I don't know if you know Tim Miley at Fox City's Paranormal. I work with him and his group now too. And, they put on the Fox City's Paracon up in Appleton here this year. But they, you know, they were a very scientific group before they met me. But now we do the same thing. You know, we don't say anything is happening until it really happens, myself or them. And that's the best way to do it. But like yesterday, they were going on an investigation that I couldn't make. I had to be home with my kids, and they were going on an investigation. And some medium out of the blue called him up and said, you have to watch out. There's a very evil spirit that's going to push somebody. And I'm like going, all right, you know, thanks for the warning. So Tim calls me up and goes, what do you sense? Before he tells me what this other person said, I said, well, you're not going to get much. I mean, you're going to get this and there. You could have a woman upstairs. There's a male spirit downstairs, so set your cameras up in the right corner. You know, so I gave him things like that. He goes, do you see anybody getting pushed? I said, no. He says, you got any real evil there? No. So, you know, it's. I don't know why people tend to go there. Even if you're a medium or even if you're an investigator, I think the fact that it is cool to be scared might be what's leading them to do that, but I don't think that's right.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and one other thing that we discovered, our other co-host, Martin, who's not here tonight, we tried something one time where he lives in Dallas, Fort Worth, and we were going on an investigation over in Shreveport, Louisiana, and I didn't tell him where we were going. I just said, hey, we're going on an investigation. Try something tonight. Turn on your ghost box and try to find out where we're going, state, city, name a location,
the names of the investigators that are going to be there, all that stuff. So we were at the site, we were investigating, and he started texting us, and he said, "Are you in Louisiana?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Are you in Shreveport?" "Yeah." "Are you at this location?" "Yeah." And I was like, "How are you getting it?" He said, "It's coming through the ghost box. Spirits are telling me everything." And I was like, "Holy crap." You know, how does that
That's
work?
Awesome. That's awesome.
So, we know.
We know spirit works in that way. We know spirit is able to see us. We know spirit does that. I mean, I had a reading today with two ladies, and, you know, first thing that came in, you know, they go, "Oh, we're really skeptical. We don't, you know, we don't think that, that you're going to be, you know, we know that you just don't go around doing this for the heck of it, but, you know, we really don't believe what you do, you know." By the end of the reading, they're giving me hugs and going, "Oh, my God, really? Did you really bring these people through?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "How did I know that I've never met you before I walked in your home today? You know, how would I come up with this?" "I don't. I never do, even when I do a reading." Now, that's a, you know, that's a good question. Let me bring that up. Is a lot of people say, "How do you know a real medium? How do you know somebody that's real?" And if the person says, "I did this, I did that, I did this," then you know he's not real. Because real mediums thank spirit all the time, because we know that we could not do it without the connection to spirit. Yes, we're the ones that are going out to do it. Yes, we're putting, you know, being ridiculed. Yes, we're being made fun of. But yet we're helping people because spirit's there to help us give the message. So that's the first thing to know if somebody's real or not.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I love it every time we go on a residential case, just like yesterday, because I always deal with the clients. Since I'm the founder, they'll call me, and
right.
I'll get all the information, the claims, everything that's going on with them, and I always tell them, "Look, I'm bringing this guy named Mike that's got psychic abilities, and I'm not going to tell him anything that we've had a phone conversation about. And when he gets there, see what he picks up." I said, he'll even go as far to tell you what kind of, you know, the claims that you're telling me. He'll tell you where it happened, what was going on, the whole nine yards. And every time, you know, we go into one of those situations, he's right on the money usually, pretty close, if not 100%, and you can just see it in their eyes. They're just like, "How does he know all this stuff?" You know?
Right.
And I'm just like, that's his gift.
Yeah. I don't go into any place knowing anything about it. I go in completely cold. The teams usually don't tell me at all, or they drive me there without telling me where we're going, what town we're going. I usually ride with them in the back seat, so I don't even know where we're going. When I did the Blues Brothers movie, Children of the Grave 2, Christopher and Philip only told me that we were going to be filming in Ohio on Tuesday. "So you need to be in Ohio Tuesday morning." I said, "Where in Ohio?" They said, "Just be in Ohio Tuesday morning." I said, "Okay." So I had some friends, so I went down to Cincinnati to stay with some friends. Tuesday morning came, I still didn't even know. I didn't know what time I was going to be there, when was filming, nothing. I get a text that said, "Here's your coordinates, put in your GPS, meet us here." And I knew when I put it in, it said it's 2.5 hours away. And so I headed up, I called them and they put on there, "Stay a mile away from the site, do not come in," because they didn't want me to see the building. So I waited for them until it was time for filming. As soon as I drove up, I got out of the car. They put a mic on me. Philip had his camera in my face. And then Christopher goes, "Tell us about this building." And we were on.
Yeah.
And the rest of the day was like that. You know, every walkthrough, I had to sit outside and wait. They would do the walkthroughs first that everybody would tell them about. Then I would come in and tell them what rooms we needed to go in, where we needed to investigate. So for that movie, that's how I did it. Even we even did it now because I just filmed a TV spot. I'm trying to be very general about it because I can't say too much about it yet. But
yeah,
a lot of the same things happened there with that case was the fact the homeowner, I know nothing about it. I knew no town we went into. I didn't know anything about it. I walked in, I was able to tell them exactly what happened in the house, who it was, and we were able to help those spirits cross over. So that's the type of stuff that real mediums do. The ones
yeah,
that
exactly.
guess, the ones that guess and tell you this could have been this, could have been this. Those are the ones that you need to stay away from.
Yeah. Yeah, we've and, you know, that's another thing. You brought up a good point. That's another thing that, that people that are not in the paranormal field, when they ask you, you know, why you do this, and you know, it's not only to help an individual, a person, per se, with their paranormal problems, but sometimes you have to help the spirit, you know, if the spirit is lost, if the spirit needs guidance into crossing over and going to where it needs to go. That's part of it, too.
That's a major part of it. To me, there's a couple of mediums with me. Anytime there's a child involved in the case,
mm-hmm.
I'm there almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
As immediately as I can get there, I will be there to help out that child. The
mm-hmm.
other one that gets me all the time is if there's children in their home and they can't sleep in their own homes, or homeowners feel bad in their own homes because they can't stand being in their own homes, to me that gets me, and I'm there right away. Because there's some immediate things that just have to happen, and I just can't see where somebody should be able to live in their own home in privacy and enjoy their life. And yes, you know, having spirits of your loved ones that are good, you know,
mm-hmm.
but the spirits that need it too is because there's a lot of times spirits don't realize that they're dead. They're here for greed. You got to work them through it. You know, if spirits knew that if they passed over, that they could come back any time, and they don't have to stay here. But people don't realize that. People say, oh, I'm bad, so I don't think I would get into heaven. No, you get into heaven. Everybody gets into heaven. You all get a second chance. We all learned what we did wrong. We all repent for it, and we all learn. And then the next time we come, we get another chance at it.
Yeah.
So everybody gets into heaven. And, you know, everyone says, well, the sinners don't get into heaven. Yes, the sinners get into heaven. Everybody gets into heaven. But it's how much repent, you know, you have to repent, you got to do life review, you have to grow from it when you're in heaven. You don't get to move on right away if you didn't ever learn anything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
We've come across some spirits like that had done something and they were still pawning over in the afterlife, and they didn't want to go face judgment from God. And, you know, so we're like, you know, God's a forgiving God, and, you know, don't be afraid of that. You know, and we came across a, you know, it's interesting. We're the same way, too. If we get a phone call, you know, if I got a phone call right now from a client involving a child, I would leave the radio show immediately to go see what I could, you know, do for that family.
Right.
We come across a child's spirit one time at a location that had been deceased for over, 115 years. And he appeared to Mike, and Mike was telling me what he was saying, and Mike's like, what are you doing here? And he said, I'm waiting for my mother. And Mike said, your mother's in the light. Haven't you ever thought about going to the light? And he goes, yeah, I've heard that before, but I don't trust anybody. I just want to wait for my mom. And Mike started talking to him, you know, and saying, look, go to the light and trust me, your mom's there waiting on you. And what was interesting, Mike described the picturette he was getting in his mind. He said the boy walked up to the light, stuck his head into the light, and his head disappeared. And all he saw Mike saw was his shoulders and the rest of his body. And then his head popped back out of the light, and he turned and smiled at Mike and said, "Hey, you're right. She is over there." And then he went into the light, and that was the end of that.
Wow.
So that was one of those cases where, you know, it was a child spirit, and it really touched us as a team. And, you know, we let Mike help. It was during a public investigation, too. It was during an event, and we stopped really, you know, the people that were there got to experience that with us, you know, because we went from investigating to helping this spirit cross over.
Right, exactly. And that's the best thing to do. I was so proud of you guys because, you know, and a lot of times that's what we get called in for is to clean up after people that don't understand that they really need to help the spirit more than they need to find the evidence, you know?
Yeah.
They really need to be, you know, the other thing is a lot of times there's a lot of groups, the scientific groups go in, and I said, what are you really telling the homeowner that you just worked with? I said, what are you telling them? That they have a ghost. Okay, isn't that the freaking reason they called you in the first place?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Isn't that the reason why they called you? Oh, we have a ghost. Can you come into our house and help us with it? Okay. They come in. Yes, you do have a ghost. Okay. What about it? How do I live with the ghost? Who is the ghost? Why are they here? How can we either get rid of them or how can we live with them? And what are you doing with the homeowner? Did you work with the spirit? You know, what's wrong with the spirit? Why is the spirit there? I mean, where are these answers? They can't give you that. And
yeah.
And that's what gets me so frustrated. Oh, yeah, we helped this homeowner. With what? You told him there's a ghost in your house. I could do that for my living room.
Yeah, exactly. Jeff knows this. We get called a lot. We're usually, a lot of the times, we're the second team that gets called in. Because the first team did exactly what you said. They collected evidence. Oh, you got something here. And boom, they disappear, and the homeowner is still left in the same situation, if not worse, because they've stirred it up, and now they're in desperation, and they call us, and we have to go in and clean up the mess.
Right.
And, you know, and that's one thing I always, you know, doing the radio, I always try to get that point across to the teams out there, especially ones that are just popping up with new investigators on it, is there's a lot more to helping a client than collecting the data. I mean, a lot of the times we're not even pulling out our equipment. You know, we're sitting here with the homeowners. We're trying to find out everything that's going on with them, the family makeup, the sources, per se, of why they got the activity they have. Mike's doing a reading on them. And, you know, it's a lot of counseling. It's a lot of trying to help them and empowering the homeowner and making them realize that they call the shots in their home. And, you know, some of the spirits, you know, by rule in the spirit world, a lot of the spirits, if you put your foot down in a stern way, not in an angry or an aggressive way, but in a stern way, and say, look, if you're going to be here, these are the rules. These are the guidelines. If not, get out. You know, this is my home. I live here. And a lot of the clients, they don't realize that they have more power than they know about when it comes to the spirit world.
I know. You're 100% correct. I mean, that's exactly what I believe, you know. So that to me is people, you know, there's so many groups that come in just for get the EVP or get scared or that type of stuff. That's okay, but don't go into people's homes. Go to Waverly. Go to Bobby Mackey. Go to wherever. Go to Gettysburg. Go to, you know, do that type of stuff. Don't go into people's homes if you're not willing to put the time in and work in to help the homeowners and everything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That to me is the crazy part.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and, you know, I was talking to another investigator the other day, and they said, because I told them, I said, hang on, I'll call you back, so they text me, and then when I called them on the phone, they said, what were you doing? And I said, I was doing a follow-up. And they were like, what? And I said, yeah, we had this case about a month ago, and we cleansed their home and whatnot, and I just called them up to see how they were doing and how things were going, you know?
Right.
I said that's part of it, is kind of following up and just kind of checking in to make sure everything's good, you know? And that way it gives them a sense of, hey, these people really care about our well-being and what, you know, what we had gone through and making sure everything's still okay.
You know, the thing is, it's not that we're trying to show them
right.
that we are, is the fact that we really do care. And that's
yeah,
the big
yeah.
thing. Because mm-hmm. there's a lot of people that pretend to care. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's the ones that really care and really do the work. It sounds like you guys are very similar, and I would love to investigate with you guys someday, because you guys sound so close to what I do already, you know? And that makes it really cool.
Well, I'm the smart one on the team.
No, you're the smart ass on the team.
Oh,
there you go. That's a good way to put it.
That's not just me. That's, well, everybody on the team.
That's funny.
So speaking of locations, where have you been that was just when you went there? There's just crazy activity going on. There was stuff there that happened that. You came out of there going, man, now that was some crazy activity.
Probably the two places I were was the one I told you about, the Baumeister Estate, which I'll probably talk about because I think that to me was the most incredible one. And that's kind of the one I'm going to be lecturing on this year in
yeah.
my lectures. But the other place that was really crazy was Bobby Mackey's Music World. We had a lot of stuff happen to us there. But probably the Baumeister State in Indianapolis, Indiana, was probably, to me, the most crazy investigation I ever done in my life. Devin Mass and I, like I said earlier, were the two psychic mediums brought into the case. There was a whole bunch of other people that were brought in at the same time, you know, really big investigators in the field. We were all brought to a hotel. And we all were taken over to the Baumeister Estate in the afternoon. We were just to meet the homeowners. Deb and I were then allowed to walk around the place by ourselves. And then we were asked to leave as they did the walk around with the homeowners. When we got in there in the room and we were meeting the homeowners, I was standing on the staircase going up to the bedrooms. And Deb was standing on the main floor. I turned around and I saw... Like I said, this is one of the times I actually saw. I saw her standing right behind me, staring me down. I said, step back. Everyone kind of looked at me. I was like, what are you doing already? I said, step back. And I looked down at Deb, and sure enough, she looks at me. She looks up right behind me, and she nods her head. So I knew she saw him too. And that was just the start of the day. Her son, Nick Lance, was with us, and he was about the age and the height and, you know, of some of the murder victims. And this guy was kind of looking him over, and that was kind of creepy. And this is just during the walkthrough in the afternoon when the sun was up. So it was pretty intense when we walked around. The upstairs in the bedrooms and downstairs, or the main floor of the house, was very calm. I mean, yeah, it was creepy in itself. I mean, but it was definitely two different feelings. The basement was completely different than the upstairs. Completely different. Because that's where he did all the killing by the pool. He would strangle the men. There would be gay men. They would have gay sex. And then he would strangle them. And then he would either put their bodies in a pile out on the farm, or you throw them into the woods. The basement was the creepy. You felt all that hate that that sadness, that scare, that scream, you know, all those emotions. It was just nasty downstairs. The deceit, the deception, the, you know, it was all that type of stuff that was in the basement, which was really bad. And this was just the walkthrough in the afternoon. So we went back to the hotel and we had dinner, and Deb and I were asked to stay at the hotel, or the investigation crew went to another building, and we didn't know where they were going. What they ended up doing was they all the investigators got to meet with the police that investigated on it and actually saw the movie of the case. There was a 30-minute documentary one of the news stations made on it, you know. So they were able to get all the details of everything that happened in that place. And Deb and I stayed at the hotel. Then they called us and said, come on, let's go. We're going to take you over to the site again. So we all went over and started the investigation. That night we had the creepiest things happen to us. We had shadows. We had smells. We had, I did automatic writing. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes.
Okay. I put a pen and put it on the paper, and he drew a face of a boy, and where the eyes were, he had my hands going over it so much that they cut out the eyes.
Yeah.
Now, what I ended up finding later after this, is that he would cut off some of the heads of the guys and put them in a different place, and they've never found those heads.
Wow.
But he was showing me that evil in the head and the eyes that he would do to these boys and these men. We were able to the dowsing rods took me right to the pile where all the bodies were buried. It was just some of the creepiest stuff we've ever had. Happened all night long. And so at the end of the night, we were doing a review with the homeowners. Deb and I were telling them, and we're going through all the things that we came up with, all the things we found and felt. And one of the investigators goes, why are you guys telling them about the movie? And I said, what? He goes, why are you guys just repeating the movie to them? I said, what movie? Yeah, Deb goes, yeah, what movie? Because we didn't know where they went, you know. And and the investigator goes, the movie that we all saw at the center. And then another investigator goes, they weren't there. So, and then homeowners were kind of freaked by it too, because we were hitting on everything that happened in that house.
Yeah.
But to me, the worst part of it was. And this is what we're lecturing on this year, is the fact that Deb and I even knew it, because Nick never came to the night investigation because he felt so freaked out by it. And I'm glad he didn't, because Deb and I ended up having nightmares, and we had the same dreams for up to almost 2 weeks, that her and I would be able to call each other in the morning and said, did you have this dream? She goes, yep. He was still with us after all that time trying to do the same type of thing to us, you know, trying to take that same control over us. So when people say, well, I'm just going to go out and investigate, nothing's going to come home with me, that's a big no. I mean, even Deb and I, who are in the field and we know what we're doing, we still had crap come home with us. So it's all about, you know, there's so many people out here that are trying to do this and not taking time for the protection, not trying to take this, tell the spirits they have to say, stay at the place, not working that, you know, not closing your hack box. You guys do that, hopefully, right? When you do.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you. That makes me a lot happier, because people don't even know that. I mean, I had it one time, too, when I didn't close my hack box, and in my car, all of a sudden, it turned on by itself.
Yep.
I mean, and all of a sudden, I hear in the back of my car, I hear, I was like, what the hell is going on? And then I heard some words. I was like, oh, crap, I didn't close it down last night. So I had to stop the car, take it out, close the session down, and use my spirit guide to clean it up and tell them, hey, you know, it's only when we do it. We don't need to be coming through all the time. So, but, yeah, that was by far the creepiest investigation I have ever been on.
Yeah.
No, I said not by far the one we caught the most evidence on, but the one that we were all creeped out the most, and just the feelings, and talk about your personal feelings. Even all the investigators had stuff happen to them that night. So that was the creepy part of it all. The best evidence we ever caught was in the movie Children of the Grave 2. And that evidence is not faked. That evidence is real. That evidence happened in the room we were in. That if you haven't seen the movie, I'll give it away, because it's just that phenomenal. And I couldn't say it the whole time until the movie was released. Keith Age and I were like, oh my God, we can't even talk about this because it's so cool. Even the Fleur company cannot tell us what this is. What happened was, I was outside, I told them different rooms right away. Well, the room we went, when one of the rooms I said there was a male energy, and one of the rooms I said there was a female energy. And sure enough, we went upstairs into the male energy room, and in there was actually a pair of men's pants in that room. So that was creepy in itself, that out of 150 rooms, I find the one that has a pair of men's pants in it. But in there, we had Brian Hensley, who was the sound man at the time. He was on the wall. He was kind of talking. We were all talking to the spirit. And the spirit's name is Michael. And we're talking to the spirit, and Keith had the thermal on me and on the wall right by the sound man. And we thought this image around Brian was Brian's shadow, you know, heat image onto the wall. But halfway through, when the things were talking, this heat image decided to walk across the wall by itself.
Wow.
So it was hidden behind the sound man, disguising itself as his shadow, and it walks across the wall in a figure form, straight across the wall. Now, that is by far the best evidence ever caught in any investigation I was in. That was incredible.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, Jeff does have something good that he brings to the team. He's our spiritualist, and he leads us in a prayer before we go in the building, and we also do a closing prayer. To ask all the spirits to stay where they're at. So.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool that he's a spiritualist. That's awesome, because so am I. See, I told you guys you're cool. I knew we would get along for some reason. You know, some interviews you go in kind of like worried, you don't know what's going to happen. You know, some shows you go on. This one, I'm laying down on the couch before you guys called. I'm like, on. You know, I'm not even prepping nothing. I said, this is going to be a fun interview tonight. It's going to be easy.
Yeah, that's how we roll. We just kind of start somewhere and then talk and see where it goes. And
that's the best interview. You know, that's the best interview. And I'm going to tell you guys that, you know, being owning Z-Talk Radio myself, having been, you know, like I said, on the air for 5 years, that's the best thing. The best interview shows are the ones that talk. The worst interview shows are the ones that have questions. Because people think, I want to do an interview show and just have questions. Those are the toughest interviews, because they don't ever really listen to you. You know, you never really have a conversation. You never talk with each other. They just ask one question after another. And I find that so hard to do an interview.
Well, it's part of that theatrical training that Jeff and I have, you know, as a theater person, you're trained to listen to what the other actors say on stage and react to them. And that's kind of what we do with the show, you know, when our guests talk, we listen to what they're talking about, and as they're talking, you know, there's other questions in my mind that I want to steer the conversation. So, yeah. Now, what are some of the things that are coming up for you for this year?
Oh, my goodness. That is crazy. I have I have 10 events booked right now, big events. And I start next weekend in Somerset, Kentucky, up at Dead Winter Horror Con. That's going to be a phenomenal event. Oh, it's going to be great. you haven't been out there, come on out to Dead Winter. It's fun. 2 weeks later, I'll be in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania for Phenomenology 105. That is, if you've never been to that event, that one should be the phenomenal one. I should use that word for that one. Because it is the most fun. It's 4 days of just of intense partying. Everybody has a great time. It's a wonderful event. So, and then in April, I have an event in Fostoria, Ohio, a first time. Tri-County is putting on an event there. So those are the first three of the year. I'll be in Canada this year. I'll be at Mid-South. We're soon to announce something at Mid-South that no one's ever done at a paranormal event, a convention before. So I can't say it because Keith would kill me if I told everybody. So I'll wait until Keith announces it. But I'll be at our home team's convention, Fox Valley Paranormals team. That's in August. I have events all the way well into October. I just got booked at an event in Michigan in October. So every month I'm somewhere. There's not a month that I'm not at an event. So I booked another event today. So it's going to be kind of fun. I hit the road. I keep my suitcases packed. And I take the radio station with me, and I take myself with me and my family, and away we go. So we have a good time. But, yeah, we take ztalkradio.com along with us everywhere. You know, we try to broadcast live as much as we can. We have a lot of live shows now at the station, so we can't break in as much as we used to in the old days. But we try to broadcast or at least get on the shows there, let everybody know we're there. So, that's where I am. My webpage is spookyscotty.com or scottyrourke.com or scottrourke.com. Any one of those goes the same place. But in my events tab, you'll see all the events that I'm at. You can also book readings for me on my webpage. I do readings. I do gallery readings. I do parties and that type of stuff. So whatever you want, I'll be happy to do.
Nice.
But... But, yeah, I enjoy going to the events because I get to meet so many people. I've met so many friends. Like I said earlier in the show, to me that is the most important thing out of it, is the meeting the friends and continuing the friendships and working together, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's why we go to events, and that's why I created this radio network that's got all these different shows on it because – This is an opportunity for Jeff and myself and Martin when he's here to meet people in the paranormal that, you know, in any other atmosphere may not get the chance to talk to. So I love doing it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
And it's an opportunity for other people to meet me.
That's a good way to be. Exactly. Gotta like that.
Well, they get, Scott, our guests are disappointed when they don't get to talk to me.
Well, the other thing is, I gotta mention this, otherwise my agent gets real mad. My agent is Chuck Parker out of Parker and Sloan out of Chicago. So there's links on my webpage if you want to book me, and I still got weekends available yet, so I'm not all booked up. So if you want to book me, contact Chuck, and he'll get you guys and myself all booked. So,
cool.
Sorry, all right. I gotta plug my agent.
You gotta do it.
If you guys ever meet Chuck Parker, you guys will love him. He's such a great guy. He's so down to earth. He's probably the best guy in the world you could have for an agent. I mean, he just tells you like it is. There's no sugarcoating nothing with Chuck. I love it.
Well, thanks for coming on.
Sure.
I really enjoyed talking to you, and I definitely want to talk to you again.
Sure, no problem. Just keep in touch, guys, and keep in touch on Facebook. You know, my second page, I got two pages out there. Add me on my private page, and then we can talk there too.
Okay.
The private page is the one, if you go there, it's the one with me in the clouds, not me in Children of the Grave. So you'll see two different ones. So go ahead and add me there, guys, and I'll add you up onto it. So, but right. But thank you guys. I'll be more than happy to come back. We appreciate it being on with you guys. It was a lot of fun.
All right. You have a great night.
All right, you too. Have a good week. And we got more snow coming Tuesday, about 10 inches. So I'll be sending it down truckloads to you guys.
Yeah, good.
So, be all yours.
Awesome.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was Scotty Warwick, everybody. It's not every day, Jeff, that we can combine paranormal and theater talk into one show.
That's true.
So that was really cool that we got to talk to someone that's in the field that also has a theatrical background as us. So, yeah.
Awesome.
And I'm going to play my new ad. We do have not only do we have the Unknown Paranormal Radio page on Facebook, we also have now the Unknown Radio Network page that has been created so that all the shows on the network can use that page to advertise what's coming on their shows. So if you've not liked that page, I would strongly encourage you to do it so that you can keep in tabs on all the shows that are on the network. Into the Darkness is tomorrow, Matt and Brittany Johnson. And Tuesday is Terrify Radio with myself and Jody Parks. We're going to have Deb Lance on the show, who Scotty was talking about earlier. We're going to have Deb on our show Tuesday. Wednesday's Full Spectrum Radio with Matt Cesarek and Dennis from CPR out of Chicago. And Thursday is Ghost Hunting Texas Style with Justin Eric and Kevin Bryant. So all those shows you can find on the Unknown Radio Network and on the fan page as well. So I'm going to play our new little ad that promotes that so that people can find it.
Cool.
This show is brought to you by the Unknown Radio Network, consisting of the very best selection of paranormal internet radio shows anywhere on the web. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Unknown Radio Network.
You're listening to the Unknown Radio Network at www.blogtalkradio.com/unknownpg. You are in.
You know,
like
you wanted to hear your voice.
I like that guy.
You like that guy, huh?
You know who else is awesome?
Who?
The guy that plays the guitar in the opening, the show's opening song. He's incredible.
Yeah, right.
That's right. Speaking of incredible, just kind of a shameless plug of myself here. You know, big surprise with that. I mentioned yesterday that I was recording some music. Well, on March 19th, a song that I wrote and I recorded it last night. Is going to be released.
Released where?
To the public.
Who's releasing it?
Through Johnson Brothers Productions.
Nice.
And Dwayne is listening right now. So I know.
Yeah, we were talking about you in the chat.
Yeah, I saw that, you jerks.
It's in your contract.
Like, hell it is. You owe me some money then. Speaking of plugs, I don't know if you know this or not. Sci-Fi is adding a new paranormal show to their lineup.
And what's that?
Deep South Paranormal.
Deep South Paranormal.
I don't know where they're out of. Let me. Okay, I'm pulling up the article on TV by the Numbers website. Sci-fi, new original series, Deep South Paranormal, Dixie, Rich Haunted History, Investigating. All right, where are these folks from? It does not say. Let's see. It takes a colorful team of local pros to investigate restless southern souls. It's kind of an experimental thing right now. They've filmed 6 episodes so far. Deep South Paranormal is a bayou-based team on a mission, so I'm assuming they're out of Louisiana.
I may know who it is, but I'm not going to say. But I have a hunch. I know.
Okay.
Some of the people involved in that.
Investigations this season include Alabama's Bear Creek Swamp, the old Cahaba Ghost Town. I probably totally did not pronounce that correctly. Florida's Mantown Cemetery. And the Mont Helena Plantation in the Mississippi Delta.
I was offered an opportunity, not for that show, but for another one that's in development. And I just got too much going on, you know, running the team and doing what I love doing. So. Yeah, I kind of declined on that, but that's just the way I do.
My way, I'll do it.
Next week on our show, we have, I hope I say her name right, it's Erica Maria Bershane.
Okay.
I hope that's her. Yeah, she's a part of Haunted Entertainment. And I believe she's a psychic medium, and we're going to have her on the show. Oh, yeah, next, just so everybody knows, next Sunday is also when daylight savings time begins. So next weekend we'll have daylight savings time. So I guess we will be turning the clocks forward?
Spring forward, fall back.
Yeah, so we're going to be losing an hour of sleep.
Damn it.
Yeah, it always throws you off, you know, when you have to. The daylight savings always screws me up for several days.
Well, you know, what's worse for me, in all honesty, during the week, I'm usually in bed by 9 or 9:30. And so on Sunday nights, oftentimes, I do the show from my bed. So there's a possibility I may fall asleep Sunday night. No, wait a minute. I'm going to be on spring break leading into it, so I'll be off Monday. So, yeah, I'll be up all night Sunday. Never mind. It's not going to mess with me at all.
You suck. And just so you know, Jeff, I don't know if you want to do a goofy intro for the 17th. That's St. Patrick's Day. That's in 2 weeks. St. Patrick's Day.
I'm sure I can come up with something.
We don't have a guest yet booked for Easter Sunday, so if I don't fill that spot, we probably will take the night off and just do a replay of a previous show.
What is that?
Huh?
What date is that?
March 31st.
March 31st, oh, okay. Well, I think it's, hold on a second, let me check my sources here. There's going to be one in April that I won't be able to make.
Well, we're in March. I don't worry about April right now, boy.
I know. I'm just looking for which exact date it is.
Well, we're down to the last seconds of the show. I just want to say thanks again to Scotty Rorick for coming on the show.
and hit us back again next Sunday, same time, same place, right here on the Unknown Radio Network. Tune in tomorrow for Into the Darkness Radio, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. Everybody have a good night.
And it's April 7th. I won't be on. There we go.
Okay.
I knew I'd find it. All right. Well, on that note, I want to wish everybody a pleasant evening. And we're going to leave you guys with the Eagles. Take it easy. Have a great one.
Easy. We ought to take